The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying, 'He is one, and there is no other than he.' And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord. Every now and again, I'll run into someone, Christian, Catholic, you name it, who often figures a one-word summary or one-phrase summary of the entire scriptures. In many ways, all you need to do is throw out every other page, as long as you got the page that has that phrase. And it could vary as to what it is. For example, some would say, "Jesus told us to love. All you need is love." Which hopefully you know is not necessarily the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but more John, Paul, George, and Ringo. There are classifications to that. Jesus puts them into particular context of what it means to love. Others, and a personal favorite of mine, especially if you have a page with this particular word, it's like just scratch out all the other lines in the scriptures except that word, and that's all many people know in the scriptures is, ready? "Don't judge." I think the worst sin these days anyone could do is judging. And once you're called judgmental, oh my gosh, there's no worse name you could be called. Which usually means it's from a person who either is or knows someone who's engaged in a lifestyle or a habit or a sin that is not necessarily approved by the teaching of the Church or the standards of Christ. And nowadays, when a person says "don't judge," it pretty much means don't ever be critical or disapproving of anyone for anything at any time ever. But not even Jesus says that. But if we were to look at a summary of the entire scriptures, everything that's encompassed in the scriptures, we perhaps have it in the gospel reading, which they ask Jesus, "What is the most important commandment in the law?" And while Jesus gives two, they're pretty much two sides of the same coin. One can't have one without the other. And what he basically does is he quotes what we hear from the first reading in the book of Deuteronomy and includes a portion of what I believe we hear in Leviticus. Everything in the scriptures can be summed up in "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." We could even condense it even into something more concise, which Jesus gives us in the gospel: "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Which includes God as well. I mean, if we want God to give us the time of day, then we need to give God his due, which is, of course, what we are doing here as we come to worship God. And then, of course, in how we deal with one another in matters of justice, social behavior, moral behavior, loving the neighbor as oneself. But Jesus divides it into the two: loving God and loving your neighbor, just as Moses gave us that in the law. And if you look in the entire scripture, whether it's the law or the prophets or the gospel or the epistles, all of it is to move us in that direction to a greater love for God and a love for one's neighbor. And what does that encompass? The two sides of that coin. Love of God, basic, proper worship of God. We're not pagans. We're not superstitious. We have one God, which is the Lord our God, and we worship as God commands us to worship him. And love your neighbor. proper justice, proper charity, proper treatment of one another as made in God's image and likeness and mutually saved by virtue of the death and resurrection of Christ, and so on. You look at even the Ten Commandments. Traditionally, when you see the image of the tablets, traditionally as they're listed on one tablet are the commandments that deal with love God, and the other tablet dealing with the commandments of love your neighbor. And the entire scripture can be summed up in those two commandments. But one might say it's easier said than done, because it's never just simply the cliche. Like many people with the other one-word summaries are more cliches, just love, and they leave it at that. Or don't judge, and they leave it at that. Loving God and love your neighbor has with it a whole tradition of the law and the prophets. If you look in the prophets, as critical as they are of the people, and some of them are tremendously scathing, I mean, if you want comfort, don't read the prophets. Even the one that says, comfort, comfort, O my people, takes him 40 chapters to get there. That's over half the book. And what are they calling the people out for? Two basic violations. Violations of worship and violations of basic social justice and charity and love for one's neighbor. The prophets are criticizing the people for engaging in pagan practices, selling themselves to paganism, and in engaging in cheating, fixing the scales, violating standards of justice at what in the Bible refers to as the gate. We would refer to it as the bench, the judge's bench. They back then referred to it as the justice at the gate. And that is basically what the prophets are calling them back to. Worship of Yahweh, worship of the one God, and justice for, especially, four main groups, and that is the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the immigrant, the last of which could be a particularly challenging one these days with the political tensions and the hot-button issue that it is. But as God reminds the people, he's not reminding them of a free-for-all in terms of immigration, but he is saying, remember that in Egypt you were once foreigners in a foreign land, and how you were treated there, and you're called to treat the immigrant with a particular justice. You're called to treat the widow. Why? Because in that day and age, the widows were the keepers of the home and the sustenance were the husbands, the fathers. When the husband died, the widow depended on the family, the children to take care of her, and if she had none, she was destitute. Ergo, Christ's compassion for the widow as she was bearing her son and raising the son from the dead and giving him back to his mother. So the Christian community, the early Christian community, and the Jewish community looked after widows because their source of sustenance was gone. And of course, the poor and the orphan, two groups that are particularly in need, and God wanted his people to be known socially for a particular care of these people in their midst. In terms of worshiping God, it's interesting because when the prophets talk of violations of the covenant of worship, he makes a comparison to the moral life, which today we tend to think of sin not so much as in general, but when we judge something as whether it's a sin or not, we often ask, does it hurt anybody? How could something be a sin? It doesn't hurt anybody. And we're thinking on the social sense. Does it offend or does it hurt someone else? Rarely have I heard people say, well, something is sinful because it's offensive to God. It may not hurt someone outright. It may even be a group activity, a social activity. But there has to be an awareness that something also offends God and therefore violates worship, violates purity that we are to bring to our worship before God. And so any aspect of sin or virtue, grace, justice falls into those categories of loving God and loving one's neighbor. And it's a challenge to grow in the sense of, well, does something give offense, maybe not socially? Socially, it may be perfectly acceptable. For example, for a time, slavery was considered perfectly acceptable. But obviously, it was not acceptable in the standards of Christianity. And there are other such things as well. And where people might ask the question, well, how could something be sinful because it doesn't hurt someone else? The question is, does it in turn offend God? And so keeping with that in mind, if we ever sit down and read the scriptures, what is the law moving us toward? What are the prophets calling us back to? And what does Jesus sum up in all of his teaching that can be brought together in one phrase, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? basically divides into two different categories. And that becomes perhaps the best summary phrase of everything we are about as followers of Christ, worshipers of God the Father, with the Son, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. That our call is to, yes, live a life of justice, but also live a proper moral life, to give particular care to those in need, but also to give proper worship to the God we profess our faith in. And so, if someone were to ask you to put it in just a basic nutshell, what is it our faith is all about? It's not about all you need is love, because there's still classifications of what that love entails. It's not about never judge, because even Jesus says, if your brother or sister are wrong, tell them, guide them back, call people back to sin, correct and admonish, and even admonish the sinner is one of the corporal or spiritual works of mercy, not spiritual works of judgmentalism. The best, perhaps, summary of our faith we could give, in which every aspect of our lives as people of faith is directed toward, is the simple two commandments that encompass both sides of the same coin. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself.